I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Maybe if we were still using typewriters, the NSA would have a harder time tracking us. But alas, the typewriter has almost disappeared from use. Almost, but not entirely, as we'll hear from India later in the program. The keyboard, though, is alive and well, everywhere from your desktop to your tablet to your phone. Which brings us to the story of the day. President Obama announcing broad changes to the way the National Security Agency conducts surveillance. It was his response to months of embarrassing revelations based on documents leaked by former NSA contractor Edward Snowden. Obama said he's ending the NSA's bulk collection of phone records as it currently exists, and that the NSA will now need judicial permission before accessing that so-called metadata.
The bottom line is that people around the world, regardless of their nationality, should know that the United States is not spying on ordinary people who don't threaten our national security. And that we take their privacy concerns into account in our policies and procedures. This applies to foreign leaders as well.
In fact, Obama said the U.S. will no longer eavesdrop on allied leaders, but the president forcefully defended the need for continuing American surveillance to help keep the world safe and in the face of spying by other countries.
We know that the intelligence services of other countries, including some who feign surprise over the Snowden disclosures, are constantly probing our government and private sector networks and accelerating programs to listen to our conversations and intercept our emails and compromise our systems. We know that. Meanwhile, a number of countries, including some who have loudly criticized the NSA, privately acknowledge that America has special responsibilities as the world's only superpower, that our intelligence capabilities are critical to meeting these responsibilities, and that they themselves have relied on the information we obtain to protect their own people.
With his announcement today, President Obama was essentially telling Americans in the world, trust us, the U.S. government will keep snooping for security's sake, but we will not abuse the data. So do people around the globe trust Obama and America? We pose that question to some tech-savvy and connected young people in different corners of the world. First up, Sana Salim, a leading youth blogger in Islamabad, Pakistan.
No, I don't trust the U.S. government. I don't trust President Obama, and I don't trust the NSA because I do not have the reason to trust them, but I have every reason to doubt them. And it seems that the impression that the American authorities or the presidency has is that foreigners are a fair game and that we, by default, from being in from certain geographical location or from being a certain country, are fair game and should be surveilled for the national security purposes of Americans.
Is this an issue of trust generally in governments? I mean, how do you feel about your own government? Because one of the things that has come out loud and clear since the NSA revelations is that a lot of countries spy on their own people.
Pakistan government has been known to spy on its own people. It's worse because we do not have, you know, the kind of rights or the kind of strong laws that people of the United States have. So, of course, firstly, I do not trust my own government with my data or any data, and I would hold my government accountable. And of course, secondly, because the American state has been found to be surveilling me and citizens in my country, I do not trust them either. So I won't put my government through a different standard than the American government. I don't trust both.
What does your digital trail say about who you are, Sana?
I don't know. That's the scary part. I don't think that being somebody who works in the internet space and works as an internet rights advocate, I don't think that there is something truly as a digital trail because you don't know what information they're picking on or what contact I'd spoken to at what point.
Yeah, well, you must think periodically about possible guilt by association.
Yeah, anything or anybody that you communicate with at any point, if they get into trouble because of anything, nothing that they've ever done, that you can always be held accountable. But that's not something new. As a Pakistani, as a green passport holder, as a woman with a brown skin, I'm already under suspicion. I'm already, you know, the special person who gets the TSA pat down and also gets to be put in the scanner. So it's not something new. But as it is, on top of that, you must also surveil my calls and must also surveil my text messages and must also surveil my emails. So, I mean, living without privacy is living without dignity. And that's primarily what it is. I don't live in fear that they're monitoring my calls, but it does make me feel that, you know, my dignity is being taken away from me.
Okay, so Sana in Pakistan doesn't trust the U.S. and feels that surveillance tramples on her dignity. Here's a young techie in a very different part of the world. Christoph Derndorfer works in education technology in Vienna, Austria.
Look, I mean, with the whole discussion, I see two levels. And the first one is the philosophical level. Do we want to live in societies where, you know, there's constant surveillance of everything we do? And, you know, on a personal level, I would say, you know, definitely no. But the second question, which I don't think a lot of people are actually considering, is, you know, is it actually the right tool for this job? You know, if the mission is to, you know, reduce terrorism or reduce the risk of terroristic threats, it's been interesting that there hasn't been too much data about what using all those tools and those mass surveillance has really done. So the question is really, beyond financial aspects, is does the cost-benefit ratio work for such a program? And there I would say no. So I think it's an impractical tool to get whatever the job's supposed to be done.
I mean, you take a very sober and practical approach to this dilemma.
Well, you know, my background is in computer science and software engineering. So, you know, you have a somewhat of a feeling what's possible on a technology level. And, you know, almost anything can be done with technology. I'm really more worried about the society implications and political and policy implications of all those things that are happening.
Now, Christoph, I know you're in Vienna. Do you think you represent kind of 20, 30 somethings there with your point of view?
Honestly, I've no idea. I think, you know, some people have also been shocked and outraged about that. But I really can't say whether I represent what most people think here or not.
Do you worry, though, about the Austrian government spying on you?
Maybe I should, but I don't think that they really have, on some level, the smarts to do that. And maybe that's naive. But, you know, the reality is also the way that particularly the internet works. You know, it is a very U.S.-centric entity at the end of the day. You know, we always believed it is a global network, but the U.S., just because of the vast amount or the size of U.S. companies, you know, Google, Apple, and, you know, the amount of money that the intelligence services are pouring into that, you know, really has a lot of influence on how the internet works. So I'm really more worried about that kind of spying and the abuse of data from anyone, you know, once that data has been collected, rather than particularly about the Austrian government, the Austrian intelligence services spying on me or the population here.
What really worries Christoph in Austria is a possible overlap between American intelligence agencies and U.S.-based internet giants. For Wafa Ben Hassin, her biggest concern is what all this talk about NSA surveillance says about the U.S. She's an American of Tunisian descent and lives in the Netherlands. She's a law student and human rights advocate whose blog is called The Poetic Politico.
I think an important thing to remember here is that these types of practices do not represent what the United States of America stands for. As a country, we have made it known to the world that we stand for the values of democracy and liberty and civil liberties of any individual. And so I certainly don't think that this is the message that we want to portray to the world and that we have been portraying to the world, that we simply don't respect the very values that we espouse as a country.
What do you think of Edward Snowden? Do you think he did the right thing?
You know, that's always a difficult question to ask, but I'll tell you something. He definitely started a conversation. And this conversation was started at a time that allowed individuals to find out more information through these revelations. And so just by starting that conversation, I believe, you know, a very big step has been taken forward.
That was Wafa Ben Hassin, an American blogger living in the Netherlands. We also heard reaction to President Obama's NSA announcement today from Christoph Derndorfer in Austria and Sana Salim in Pakistan.